Even the software engineers know this to be true, that an aerial is not a source for current. Paul Falstead in his simulator calls his antenna an AC source. And we all know an AC source is strictly a source of voltage. It is not a source of current. So the aerial, strictly speaking, serves as a capacitor, in as much as it's linking with the atmosphere. And the atmosphere, via the aerial, is serving as a capacitor, holding on to a specific source of voltage, which, and a frequency, a set frequency, because this is not a DC source, it's an AC source, and this is very important. It's like the conductor in the orchestra. Sure, there are plenty of orchestras, if they know their job, they can play just as well without the conductor, but in this case, the analogy breaks down because now we need the conductor. It's like a metronome with a beginning student. You've got to have that metronome ticking out the beat as they practice their piece. Well, in this sense, in the sense of AC, you cannot get away without a signal. In DC, it's different. You don't need a signal. It's just all DC. But in an AC system, the whole thing collapses. Especially this situation is so tenuous. You see, it's all of the amplification, the so-called free energy amplification, is quite tenuous, and that's the trade-off, is we're dealing with a system that is vulnerable. It's not unstable, but it's has a lot of risk of becoming unstable if it should lose its beat. It's got to keep the beat and the voltage that embodies the beat. That's the job of the voltage coming from the aerial, is to embody the beat. And the beat maintains the amplification, given the fact that the beat is put in the best place possible, the best advantageous place possible, namely the starter coils. The starter coils will do their job. They'll step up the voltage as they pass that voltage to the main coils of the motor. And then the main coils will feed back current to the starter coils. And they'll all blend on the armature, and then the rotor will get the benefit, mostly the current, to maintain the speed of the car. And this is why the analog in the software, in the simulation, the analog for an aerial, in this case aerial combination radio tuner, actually, or sine wave generator for that matter, because it's squealing a beat frequency, so it's a combination of all three, a voltage source, an aerial and radio tuner and sine wave generator functioning as a sine wave generator. It can get away with it. The simulation can get away with it and be accurate and realistic, is because that's all this three-way combination is. It's a voltage source, an AC voltage source, putting out a sine wave. In this case, two primaries and a third secondary. In other words, the two primaries are the two voltage sources, because now I've changed it. So now I have two voltage sources, one geared for the wavelength coming in from the aerial on the back side of the periserial, quarter wavelength of what was it again? 4 gigahertz. So 4 gigahertz, and then we have the quarter wavelength at the front end of the car, namely the two little rods sticking out of the project box of the Piracero demonstration, 1 inch in height, resonating with, the small rods are resonating with 4 gigahertz, and the large 2 meter aerial at the back side of the car is resonating with 50 megahertz. Now the 50 megahertz has all the energy. For some reason, I still don't understand this, because when I looked, I never, The reason why I never found the beat frequency, because I didn't look in the right place, or I should say the right time frame. It takes a ridiculously long period of time for the simulator to produce a large enough window of time oscilloscope tracing such that to be able to see the beat frequency at 80 hertz. It's just not going to happen. I don't have the right computer. It would take a supercomputer or something to be able to depict that, because it takes forever to compile the simulation just to be able to see that one frozen frame of picture. So I'm not going to be able to verify the existence of the beat frequency, and I don't have to because I know it exists. Why? Because I looked and I did see, I looked at the two other frequencies. I scoped the voltage sources themselves to see what are they doing. And I found, looking at either it was L1, the one of the bifilar windings of the main coil, or it was the rotor. I think I looked at each. And it might have been the rotor that gave me the information I needed. In any case, it was somewhere around in there. No, it was the resistor. I think it's called R2, that's adjacent to the first starter coil. And it's also adjacent in line with the two voltage sources, namely acting, the two voltage sources acting as the sine wave generators in the simulation, which are, of course, the sine wave generators are the aerial radio tuner frequency, beat frequency sine wave generators. Anyway, yeah, I looked at that resistor, and the resistor gave me a wave. And I took two different viewpoints in time. And one was I zoomed in on the crest of the wave. Let's say I picked the crest to be able to zoom in on it. And I could see the 4 gigahertz baby wave riding on top of its mama wave, the carrier. And then I zoomed out and I looked at the carrier wave and I determined that it was not 50 megahertz as I expected it to be. It was slightly less. It was 33.333 megahertz. It had veered. It had been slowed down. Something was tugging on it, and that something is the 80 cycle beat frequency is tugging on the mama wave. But the daddy wave is riding on the carrier wave, the mama wave. In other words, the small wave doesn't have the energy to do much of anything. Now, it's probably been modified as well in terms of its frequency. So all these frequencies, as they blend, they change their frequency. The sine wave generators put out a set frequency, but their interaction with each other modifies that frequency that's being put out. So the mama wave at 50 megahertz has been slowed down a bit. That means she's lost some of her energy and has transferred that energy to the beat frequency wave of 80 cycles per second. That's where the energy is coming from, is the mama wave. And that would correspond to the aerial at the back side of the Paracero, the 2 meter high aerial, is where most of the energy is coming from to run the show, to initiate the process. The motor is acting like a transformer, and it's doing most of the work, creating the creating that energy in terms of a constant feedback loop in which everything gets amplified. So it's doing most of the work of amplification, but it still has to start with something. And so the crux of the matter, the fulcrum upon which all this rests, is the initiation or the generation of a beat frequency spawned by a mama frequency and a much faster daddy frequency that's riding on the carrier wave of the mama frequency. So the daddy wave is 4 gigahertz, the mama wave is 50 megahertz, but she gets slowed down when she gives birth to the beat frequency of 80 cycles per second. So she loses some of her frequency and slows down a bit. And so that's evidence that the beat frequency is there, the fact that she slowed down. That's as much as I could make out, and that's probably as much as I'll ever be able to make out. But I thought I'd share that because I thought it was significant. I mean, it'd be nice to see, have evidence of the beat frequency, even though we know mathematically it has to be there. It's a mathematical certainty. It's going to be there. And it's uncanny to come up with this in the first place. To my mind, it's the clue of the evidence is staring us in our faces. The two sets of aerials, the two, you know, small switches in the front and the large aerial in the back, and the difference between them. It's to run the motor off of, because it's a nice idea, you know, cow magnets on a flywheel, but it doesn't sit that well with me, you know. It's a little unorthodox, but this is not. Now, there's not much energy in the beat frequency. You know, all I saw subtracted from 50 megahertz was the difference, less to make, you know, 33.333 megahertz. So that's what? That's, I want to say 16.666. Yeah, 16.666 megahertz. That's all the energy that was taken from the mama wave of 50 megahertz to make the baby wave of 80 hertz. So the energy of 16.666 megahertz has to be transformed or transmuted, transduced, I don't know, yeah, transduced into the amplitude of the 80 cycle per second baby wave that's running into the show, the beat frequency that's running the motor, because the motor has to lock in. It has to have that 80 cycle frequency of enough amplitude to lock in on it, to synchronize its rotation with that wave, or else if it doesn't lock on, it ain't going to run. The car is not going to turn over and run. You're not going to be able to accelerate from a cold stop, you know, pull away from the curb, let alone accelerate up a hill. So it's got to have enough amplitude. So that's what bothered me. If I didn't see evidence of the beat frequency, how do I know there's enough amplitude there to run the motor? What if it's just a dimple? You know, if I scope away, zoom away from these two waves, the carrier wave and the daddy wave riding on the mama wave, carrier wave, what if it's just a dimple of undulation? Because I've seen this. I've seen it in months of looking at simulations, hours and hours and hours and hours. There's all these undulations that a wave can do in addition to whatever else it's doing. And it can undulate in all kinds of different fashions. But what if it's just a dimple of an undulation, indicating to me that there's not enough energy there for the motor to lock in on it, to lock in on the beat frequency, because this is an effect, it's not a cause. It's almost a ghost in the sense that it's not a primary energy embodiment. It's an effect of an energy embodiment caused by the mama and the daddy waves. So we can't, so the whole point of resonance, you know, getting an aerial to resonate at a certain frequency is the maximum transference of energy. Well, here you've got this beat frequency that's so unlike the two parents. The parents are up there in the mega and the gigahertz. And we've got this 80 hertz way down here. How can energy transfer? There's a humongous loss of energy. Talk about lack of efficiency. But we've got to have 80 hertz for the motor to run. You can't have the high frequencies yet. There's another problem. It's all too easy to run a motor on voltage. And that's why we do this, the way we do it conventionally. We run motors off of voltage. That's why we have such big battery packs. To be able to run a motor off of current means you got to have high frequency. Now, I found 1 megahertz was ideal, but Tesla can't deal with that because he's got to run the motor at 80 cycles. So he's got to create a difference, but the difference has to come from two waves that are at the mega and the gigahertz range in order to generate enough transference of current to the rotor, squirrel cage rotor. Otherwise, if the squirrel cage rotor does not get a transfer, if it cannot receive a transfer of current adequate enough to turn itself, the motor won't turn. So there are two criteria. The main coils have to generate all the voltage, but the squirrel cage rotor has to have transferred to it an adequate supply of current at the frequency that the motor wants to resonate at, which is 80 cycles. It was custom made for this demonstration to resonate, the motor to resonate its RPM at 80 cycles per second. So there has to be amplitude of current, and there has to be the frequency to lock in on at 80 cycles. So I found, I was able to see evidence in the simulation that current got transferred to the squirrel cage rotor, because the starter coils are running up at around 550 amps RMS. That's a lot of amps, and they're going to lose more than half of it, in the sense that only 200 amps gets transferred to the squirrel cage rotor, but it does get transferred. It gets transferred, and that indicated to me, again, it indicates to me evidence of the presence of the beat frequency, that it's there, that it's locking in. Or else, why else would it get transferred? I don't know, but it got transferred. Or why else would the mama wave slow down? Okay, so it's really the slowing down of the mama wave that's evidence of the beat frequency, but the fact that 200 amps managed to cross over to the squirrel cage rotor, provided I lowered its self-induction to, I think it was 1 nanohenry. That was really ridiculous. But it doesn't have to have a whole lot, you know, because the rest of the motor, see, not everything has to do the job that everything else is doing. Every part of the motor specializes in its function. So that squirrel cage rotor, all it has to do is lock in on the frequency of 80 cycles and get sufficient current to turn itself, because current is what's going to cause it to rotate. But that's the end product of everything else that has already transpired. The main coils have to have the voltage, or else none of this is going to happen. They're the producer. They're the in the tug of war, they're the last guy on the end of the tug of war rope, who's your heaviest guy. You put the heaviest guy on the end to hold on to that rope, to give it an anchor. He's the anchor, or her, somebody big and strong. And they're on the end of that rope at each end. And that's what the main coil's job is to do. And that main coil is on the end of all of this. And that's why it's so big, and that's why it has all the voltage, is to act as the anchor to hold on to all of this, what's going on, the happening, the activity. Now the starter coils, they have to embody an excess of current to transfer that, to at least be able to have something with which to transfer over to the squirrel cage rotor. Because the squirrel cage rotor has only 10% coupling with whatever is going on here. It's pretty poor. In fact, now that I think of it, I have to redo the simulation now. I had the rotor coupled to L1. Now I have to couple it to SC1, one of the starter coils, because that's where the transfer is taking place, not with the rotor. I could be wrong, though. I could be wrong. The whole thing may go belly up if I shift it to the starter coil, because the main coil has all the voltage, right? The pressure. So I may have it in the right place now that I think of it. So I'm going to check that. I'm going to see if it does any worse or any better if I switch the coupling, the loose coupling, the 10% coupling between the squirrel cage rotor, and shift it from L1 over to SC1 and see what happens. From one of the bifilar windings on the main coil, shift it over to one of the starter coils and see if there's any improvement or loss of effectiveness. See, in reality, all of the 10 coils, the 8 starter coils and the 2 bifilar main voltage coils, they're all on the same armature. So it's really just a question of, in terms of reality, the simulator has to have, you have to narrow, you have to focus on just one of those 10 coils to serve as the the giver, so that the rotor acting as beneficiary can receive it. But in reality, all 10 coils are there. Oh, I do have to redo the simulation. So I have to do a loose coupling. A single 10 loose couplings of individuating transference of energy from each of the 10 coils, the 8 starter coils and the 2 bifilar voltage main coils, each one individually transferring its energy at 10% coupling coefficiency to the squirrel cage rotor. And that'll all add up. That'll improve performance, and I'll be able to bring down the voltage on the two radio tuners. I bet you that'll happen. That's right. Now, oh, of course, because the current adds. It's a current addition situation. They're all in parallel, giving their strength. That's right. They're all on the armature. I didn't think of that. That's why I do these videos. It helps me think out loud. I don't have somebody to bounce these ideas off of who thinks the same way I do. I just have me. So I talk to myself out loud to either a video intake, or in this case, I'm just doing audio, so I can help think my way through this problem, because, I mean, I'd be darned if I could think this way out on my own quietly to myself. I need a little stimulation here. All right, so I'm going to shut up now and go back to work on the computer and redo this, and I'll be able to bring the voltage down, I bet. But I'm pretty certain now the beat frequency is there. Even though I don't get a chance to see it, I have evidence of it because the amperage got transferred and because the mama wave slowed down her frequency. So I know she lost some energy, and it went to the baby wave, the beat frequency. So I know it's there, even though I don't have a motor to see if it turns over. That would be evidence, right? If the motor turned over and started to rotate, then we'd know that it's locking in to its frequency of 80 cycles per second, but I don't have that. And the simulator does provide a DC motor, not an AC, and it's limited to 10 RPM, which is a fraction of a rotation per second in terms of hertz. So there's no way I'm going to be able to see, you know, it's just not going to happen. So we have to look for workaround solutions for evidence of the 80 cycle per second beat frequency, baby wave. We have to look at evidence for it, because we don't get to see it. We need a supercomputer for that. Anywho, okay.